Professor John Pomeroy, thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Mark.
Professor Pomeroy, we have had a number of droughts and floods around the world. Let me ask you, first of all, are we actually running out of water, or is it merely ending up in places where it didn't before kind of thing?
Well, water is neither destroyed or created on our planet over the timescales that we're interested in. So we have the same amount of water, but it's not where we want it, and sometimes there's way too much of it. And that's an indication of some of the effects of our changing climate.
Now, of course, what is making the news lately is the fact that we have a major world city in South Africa, very close to day zero, running out of water. People think of Canada, including Canadians, think we have lots of water, but that still isn't necessarily the case, and we may face something similar here. Isn't that true?
Yes. What we're seeing in Cape Town in South Africa is a result of a multi-year drought, along with difficulties in managing their water through those situations. And no, Canadians are not immune to that. We've had the most severe droughts in history just in the last 3 years in Western Canada and in Southern Ontario, Southern Quebec. And the fires associated with our drought, we've already seen that across many provinces. And the drinking water restrictions, water use restrictions, have already hit cities like Vancouver and Nanaimo in British Columbia. Southern Alberta has experienced exceptional drought over the last 15 years, including rivers like the Milk going dry back in 2001. So we're certainly not immune.
How is it that we can run out of water, though, even with droughts? Because if you look on a map, Canada's full of these lakes and rivers all over the place.
Yes. We have more water storage and more water flow per person than any other large country. But much of that water is in the north, and it flows to the north. So along our southern border, we are often in situations where we only have locally generated supplies. And for instance, southern Alberta is a semi-arid environment. And so it can go through years and long periods of time with extremely low precipitation, precipitation that would create a full-blown desert in a warmer climate.
So how is it that in some parts of the country we're experiencing this abnormal drought condition, and yet in other areas we've had massively unusual flooding and damage by water?
Yes. In fact, they're related because we're seeing a change in the severity and the duration of extreme weather patterns. And so quite often in our country at the same time. So, for instance, last year we had flooding in Ontario and Quebec through the Great Lakes St. Lawrence system is quite severe. At the same time, that that drought was occurring in Western Canada, and simply very warm, dry air stalled over Western Canada, whilst very cold, cool air stalled over Eastern Canada. We can also flip from one season to another. Last year, we had record high snowpacks in much of British Columbia and Alberta in the mountains, yet that was followed within weeks by forest fire and eventually drought situations. So we can see these flip in one location over 1 year.
You've also noted in an article recently that Canada is the only G7 country without a national flood forecasting program.
Yes. In Canada, due to the British North America Act, our constitution, water resources are allocated to the provinces. And so whilst the measurement of water is shared between federal and provincial jurisdictions, the flood forecasting and aspects of emergency preparedness tend to be at the provincial level. However, that doesn't preclude the national government working cooperatively with the provinces to develop a national flow forecasting system, which would aid everyone. And the really good news since I wrote that article is in the recent federal budget, there was money allocated to the National Hydrological Service of Environment and Climate Change Canada to both improve its measurement program for streams and lakes, but also to start forecasting and predicting flows. And so that's the start of a nationally led system. And so, that will take the provinces working with the federal government on this. But I think this will inform the provinces as to their flood forecasts themselves by having this national predictive system behind them.
Now, Professor Pomeroy, you're heavily involved in something called the Global Water Futures Program. Would you tell me about that, please?
Yes, this is a program that I direct at the University of Saskatchewan, but it's a cross-Canada program. It involves 18 universities across Canada, dozens of federal and provincial government departments, and hundreds of collaborators from around the world. And it's, in fact, now the largest freshwater research program in the world led by a university. What we're trying to do is, one, help design flood and drought forecast systems to better predict the impacts of climate change on our future water supply, and to help water users and various groups in Canada and abroad better adapt and mitigate the impacts of climate change and development and water quality episodes on their water.
Professor Pomeroy, are Canadians, because we have this idea that we have so much water, are we really bad at wasting water?
Yes, we're really bad. In many colder parts of Canada, people leave their taps running to keep their pipes from freezing instead of putting in insulation or putting heat tape on their pipes. There are our water usage is amongst the highest in the world, and it's much higher than South Africans, for instance. We also have a large amount of irrigation fed agriculture, and our economy is very water dependent. Now, not all this water use takes water out of the surface groundwater system necessarily. When you say take a shower or flush a toilet in the cities, that water is returned ultimately to the river or lake through your sewage treatment plant. But it's the water use where it's not returned that we have to keep an eye on, and that's generally dealing with irrigation-fed agriculture or watering your lawn, things where water will tend to evaporate.
If you were to choose one thing that we could do to avoid a water shortage catastrophe, what would that be?
That would be comprehensive river basin management. Right now we have our major water bodies like the Great Lakes St. Lawrence or the Saskatchewan Red River Nelson River system, or the Peace, Athabasca, and Mackenzie River system are shared by multiple provinces or between the U.S. and Canada. I guess I would add the Columbia to that as well. And we don't manage these river basins as an integrated system. Each province manages its section, and then there are agreements between the provinces and between the U.S. and Canada that try to smooth this over. But the gold standard is integrated river basin management, where we treat the river and its basin as one entity and manage it for its best purposes. And we really need to move towards that.
Just as a final thought, is there any Canadian city or area that is likely to face a real water crisis problem in the near future, even closely resembling that of Cape Town?
We don't have any that are in that situation of Cape Town. Cities in the semi-arid region, such as Calgary, have taken great strides to reduce their water consumption and have introduced water metering, things like this. Alberta has put restrictions on the expansion of irrigation in the Saskatchewan River system to ensure that there's adequate water and actively manages water during droughts. In British Columbia, again, watering bans and other bans in Vancouver, Nanaimo, and other cities have been effective in getting them through dry summers. But that doesn't mean that we won't be in trouble in the decades to come. We're seeing manifestations of climate change with severity droughts and severity floods that are, frankly, absolutely shocking. And they expect these to get worse. And so we'll have to keep improving our game, improving our water management capabilities, and in some cases enhancing our storage capacities to get through these situations in the future.
Professor John Pomeroy, thank you very much for this.
Well, thank you.